It's Iowa Public Radio's Studio One Tracks. I'm Mark Simmet. Gerf Morlix, musician, vocalist, songwriter, producer, is touring right now in support of his new album, Eatin' at Me. And he played in Des Moines last night. He's heading out for some gigs in Wisconsin and points east this week and weekend and beyond that. Welcome, Gerf, to Studio One.
Hey, thanks, Mark. I'm happy to be here.
It's good to have you, and congratulations on the new record, Eatin' at Me.
Yeah, thanks. There's a lot of stuff eating at me.
You always come up with the good titles, I have to give
you that. Yeah, I kind of been told I have a knack for the titles. You know? I mean, I named my first album Toad of Titicaca, you know. So.
Yeah, where do you go from there, you know?
Downhill.
Well, no, I think actually uphill, Gerf. We'll give you.
Yeah.
It's a great album. I listened to it over the weekend. It's the ninth one you've done, and you started making your own records in 2000, right?
Yeah, that's when the first one came out. I think I was like 49 or 50 years old when that thing came out.
Now, that is a little unusual from the typical way that it's done.
Yeah, I didn't want to peak too soon.
And now you're up to your ninth album overall?
Yeah, well, it's 8.5, I think, really. One of them, I have one that's an instrumental version of an earlier album.
Right.
So that's kind of about half an album, so...
Okay.
This might be my 8.5.
8.5.
Yeah.
We're going to hear music from that that new record here today on Studio One and some other stuff as well, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, well, why don't we hear one right now? Gerf Morlix on Studio One.
All right, well, here's a song called Dirty Old Buffalo, and I grew up just outside of Buffalo, New York, and man, it was really rugged back in the 50s, and the air was polluted like you would not believe. The air was coming out of the smokestacks of the Bethlehem Steel Plant, just south of the city of downtown Buffalo. The air was just orange and it stunk, and you could see the particles, the black soot and the orange iron particles in the air, and it was awful. And those people's lungs were coated with that stuff. And so I wrote this song called "Dirty Old Buffalo." Pile in the car in our best clothes, kids in the back seat. Dad would drive, breathing the stink all the way to the city, 15 miles up Route 5, over Father Baker's, over the Skyway. Past the steel plant, we'd go once a year. The road was rugged, the air was orange. Mom was quiet, you could smell her fear. Dirty old Buffalo, dirty old Buffalo, Rust Belt City on the borderline. South Park Bridge into Lackawanna, looking for kicks without a clue. Couple of kids out of their element, hoping $5 will see them through. Waiting in an alley of blue shadows for a fat man, all soaked in sweat. I could see the gun in his waistband as he reached for a cigarette. Dirty old Buffalo, dirty old Buffalo, smoky memories, they haunt my mind. Dirty old Buffalo, dirty old Buffalo, Rust Belt City on the borderline. Now the Allman Brothers played at Aliota's, an itty bitty bar on Hurdle Avenue. It was 1970. They were scuffling, living on speed. there was a problem with the money. Imagine that. And there was a need to settle the score. Road manager stuck Aliota and left him dying on the barroom floor. Dirty old Buffalo, dirty old Buffalo, smoky memories, they haunt my mind. Dirty old Buffalo, dirty old Buffalo, Rust Belt City on the borderline. Same, it's all in color. It's not the sepia that I recall. It's all so smooth, but I miss the gritty fresh paint, a wrecking ball. Well, they'll polish everything with money. What they do, this I know, it's not the city that I remember. But if I scratch the surface, I think the grease will show. Dirty old Buffalo, dirty old Buffalo, smoky memories, they haunt my mind. Dirty old Buffalo, dirty old Buffalo, Rust Belt City on the borderline. I miss Buffalo.
That's Gerf Morlix on Studio One. So they've cleaned up Buffalo then.
Yeah, the air is fine now, and the city's doing really well. It's
well, that's,
doing the best
know,
it's done in a long
that's
time.
That's good, but it sounds like you miss that sepia tone pollution that they used to have.
Well, I don't miss the pollution at all. I don't think anywhere in the world can be pumping out pollution like that thing was in the 1950s and 60s.
Yeah.
I do like old wood and old bricks and patina. But this was more than patina. This was just god-awful.
Yeah, that comes across in that song, Gerf. Nice one. And that's from the new album, Eatin' At Me. One of the things that's eating at you, I guess, huh?
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of them.
So you started out before you made your own records, of course. You're known as producer.
Yeah.
Produced a lot of, you know, I mean, it's amazing the list. When you look at the list of people you've worked with, not only as a sideman, but as a producer. Robert Earl Keen and Slade Cleaves and Ray Wiley Hubbard, a couple of my people that have connected with me, Butch Hancock and Tom Russell.
Yeah.
Those guys. And they're all such individuals.
Yeah.
And of course, Lucinda Williams, that we have to mention. You did those first few albums for Lucinda, the self-titled one, Sweet Old World, and then Car Wheels and a Gravel Road. And, you know, those got a lot of recognition. So did you think at the time, that's it, I'm a producer now?
I was thinking about it that way at the time. That's what I was telling people I was, and it was true. And then it was a long time after that that I started putting out my own records. You know, I was always writing songs, but I was working with these people like Lucinda and these other people that I was lucky enough to produce records for, and I had to compare my songs to theirs.
Right.
And luckily, I could tell that they weren't as good, and I didn't exactly know why, but I knew that I wasn't ready. And then when the digital revolution came along, and all of a sudden, in order to make a record, all you needed was a couple $1,000s worth of equipment instead of like $150,000 from a record company. Then I bought a little studio and put it in my house and started making records there. And then everybody said, well, you got to put your own out. And I just kind of because I could, I did. And I think I was almost ready at that point. And then at one point I wrote a song that some people responded to, and that kind of just threw me. I went, oh, that's how that's done. And then the bar was raised, and then all the other songs had to try to be that good. And there was just a point where I reached a level of songwriting where I think it started mattering to other people.
Okay, well, let's hear some more. Gerf Borlix.
Okay. Well, here's another one from the new album, and this is a song called Blue Smoke. Those are some fine looking boots, exotic leather, must be custom made. Fancy stitching, neon colors. I hate to think how much you paid. You bought a vision of yourself in the mirror. You bought fashion, but fashion ain't real. The only parts of the boot that really matter are the sole and the heel. You got your top down, your high beams are on. I can almost hear your midnight moan. But there's blue smoke hanging in the air, and your pistons, they may be blown. We used to have conversations. You'd tell me everything that was on your mind. I live for your joy and your sorrow, all the passion we can find. Blood and truth and unpaved roads. Don't you remember how that feels? Your gas gauge is getting down near empty. Your hands trembling on the wheel. You got your top down, your high beams are on. I can almost hear your midnight moan. But there's blue smoke hanging in the air, and your pistons, they may be blown. Sloppy emails at 3 a.m. Say you got something you just want to tell me, but you leave me hanging again and again. I won't be part of your collection, on display for all your friends to see. I love you, I miss you, even when you're standing next to me. You got your top down, your high beams are on. I can almost hear your midnight moan. But there's blue smoke hanging in the air, and your pistons, I'll bet they're blown. And I hope you make it home.
based on a true story, blue smoke really coming out of the car? Oh. Yours or somebody else's?
Coming out of my ears.
It's dramatic, yeah. Your pistons can be blown, definitely. So I know Car Wheels was, speaking of cars, recorded partially at least in Nashville later on. Is that correct?
And did some work. Well, we did a version of it in Austin.
Right.
That was about 95% finished, and then that was bagged. And then we did a version in Nashville.
Uh-huh.
And I quit in the middle of that. And then I think it was taken to L.A. and finished up there.
Oh, my goodness.
There,
okay.
It went on for years.
Yeah, well, that story will probably follow you around. You know, I almost hesitate to bring it up. It's been, you know, what, almost 20 years now.
That's right. It's been a long time.
But still, a great landmark album, and, you know, we have to mention it. So did Nashville come knocking on your door, you know, or the music industry, you know, the big boys, did they come seeking your services at any point?
Not exactly, but, you know, I used to have to deal with record companies. And, you know, when I did Lucinda's album in 1988, I guess it was, the one that's just called Lucinda Williams, and we had a very small budget for that. But then the next one was on a major label, and we had to spend like $150,000. And I remember talking to an A&R guy and saying, you know, I can make this record for $15,000. And he's going, don't even say that. Don't tell anybody that. They don't want to know that. We have to spend this money. And it was just this corporate thinking, and I just despised the whole thing. And I'm really so happy to not be in that world anymore.
Now, I get that from your, I'm going to talk a bit about this later, the mission statement you have on your website.
Yeah.
Really lays it out and makes it clear how you feel about that. And what else do you have for us?
Well, let me see here. I'll play you this one here. It's another one from the new record. And it's kind of about hitting rock bottom, about going as low as you can go and feeling as bad as you can feel. I'm alone. I'm shaking. Don't think I've ever felt so cold. Got no idea where you are. And I'm thinking might have to fold. Well, the internet is slowing up. And the porn, it won't load. And my life, it ain't worth nothing since our last little episode. Trying to remember what you told me through the tears. Said goodbye. Find your passion and dare it to kill you. Grab the wheel, drive till you die. I've been thinking, and I've been thinking, I may never know where we went off the track. I admit it, I could have done better. Maybe there's a couple skills I lack. Trying to remember what you told me through the tears as you said goodbye. Find your passion, dare it to kill you. Grab the wheel, drive till you die. lost almost everything that I cared for fairly well. Sweet desire, I'll do what I have to, but it's killing me. I think I'm ready to start the fire. Trying to remember what you told me through the tears as you said goodbye. Find your passion and dare it to kill you. Grab the wheel, drive till you die. Grab the wheel, drive till you die.
Gerf Morlick's on guitar and stomp board. Is that the official name for that?
I got these little drum things. They're called the knockbox. I got one under each foot, and it's kind of like a I got a little drummer with me. I got a big drummer with me. Hopefully,
I just had to explain to the listener what's going on here. You know,
it's a little one man band thing. You know, if the drummer's whiny or drunk, I know what the problem is. I know who to talk to about it.
Are you a self-taught guitarist?
Yeah. I took about 3 or 4 lessons, but, you know, back then, man, it was like another century back then. They didn't teach me what I wanted to know. You know, I was like a kid. You know, I was 12 or 13 or something, and I wanted to learn how to play some rock and roll songs, and they started teaching me how to read music, and it's like I bailed after 3 or 4 lessons and started teaching myself, and right away I knew how to play songs. You know, I just learned 3 chords, and the whole world opens up.
Yeah, well, you seem to have an affinity for stringed instruments, not just the guitar, but pedal steel, lap steel, mandolin.
Yeah, if it's got strings on it, I can probably figure out how to make a sound out of it.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about Root Ball Records. You get along with the folks at Root Ball?
Yeah, I am the folks at Root Ball.
My smart aleck question there to get to that.
You know, everything I do is a one-man operation, and it has to be that way, but I've learned to love it that way. You know, I don't answer to anybody but myself, and so I can't even afford to hire an engineer to come in and help me record, so I do it all myself, and it comes out good for that reason. You know, I like what the sounds I get.
And that certainly is the case with the new record, Eatin' at Me. And so the best place to get that is on your website then?
Yeah, that works really well. Oh, the best place is to come see me play somewhere.
Of course.
Second to that is go to the website. You can buy it there.
That's at gerfmorlix.com.
Yeah, GERFMORLIX.
You'll sign every single copy that goes out?
If somebody wants me
to. If they want you to.
I sign stuff and send it out. That's my DNA on those envelopes, you know.
It's a beautiful thing. Yeah. And we're listening to music today from Eatin' at Me, the new album. Gerf Morlick on Studio One.
Yeah, well, let me switch guitars here and I'll play you another song. Let me make sure that's in tune there. Yeah, as I said, I was born in this city called Lackawanna. It's just immediately south of downtown Buffalo. And that's where the Bethlehem Steel Plant was belching out the smoke. And I wrote this song about, it kind of starts on the day I was born. So I gotta adjust this. This is called Born in Lackawanna.
Our Lady of Victory, keeping her eye on me. First thing I did see was an orange haze from the factory. The sky wasn't blue though the sun did shine. I was gasping, I was crying. You could cut the air with a knife. Such a beautiful moment coming in into this life. Born it like a one eye. You got a pulse, it begins. Born it like a one eye. Breathe deep, suck that smoke in. Now the 1950s was the golden age. An honest day's work for an honest day's wage. Strong back, you were hired. That's all that was required. You make it through high school, it suddenly gets real. You either go to college or to Bethlehem Steel. Blast furnace hotter than hell. Not sure I'd have done that well. Born in like a one eye. Your world is starting to spin. Born in like a one eye. Breathe deep and suck that smoke in. No matter how bad your day had been, mercy was waiting at the three gate inn. You could drown your sorrows. The 5 gate in, or the 6 gate in, or the 7 gate in. Lying against the Lake Erie shore, built with blood and iron ore. Ain't no city dug a deeper hole. Ain't no city got no more soul. Like a one eye, you gotta take it like it's medicine. Born in like a one eye, breathe deep and suck that smoke in. Born in like a one eye, breaking news, a bulletin. Born in like a one eye, breathe deep and suck that smoke in. Breathe deep. Suck that smoke in.
Has Lackawanna ever been mentioned so much in songs before?
I don't think so. You know, there is an Erie and Lackawanna Railway that's up there in the Northeast, and I bet there's been some train songs that mention it, but
possibly.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's a nice flowing Lackawanna. Just, you know.
It's a beautiful name. It's an nice Indian word. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Yep. As are so many in the United States. So you're still, even though you are now making your own music, you still produce, right?
Yeah. That's kind of slowed down a little bit because I've been out on the road so much trying to play these songs in front of people. I want to go and play in front of anybody that's willing to listen. But yeah, I still produce for some people and always looking too, you know. Always
right.
Keeping my
right.
eye open for some new good music coming along.
Things still happening in Austin hasn't cooled off.
Austin's on fire.
It's a talent.
It's a boom town. Have you been down there?
Have never made it to Austin. Certainly have heard about it though.
It's worth a trip. It's yeah. a really remarkable place and you know, they call it the live music capital of the world for good reason, and it's also just a great restaurant town and great geography and great climate and great music community, and I can't imagine living anywhere else. So.
Yeah. Well, we've been vicariously enjoying the vibe of Austin through all the great music that has come out, recorded music.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
I think everybody feels like they have some idea of what Austin might be like. Maybe it's not quite the reality, but
it's
live
worth
music
a trip.
Capital. And you are a great representative of Austin.
Well, thank you.
For us right now.
Well, here's another song from the new record. And, you know, I'll tune this guitar a little bit. I hated school. Man, I should have quit school. I wanted to be out of there. And I should have quit when I was like 10 or something, but I didn't. I wasn't smart enough. But I started being contacted by people that I went to grade school and high school and junior high with, and trading emails and Facebook messages with these people. And then because I'm touring around the country and have a very small level of notoriety, some of these people that I knew back then 50 years ago have been starting to come to my shows, so I started thinking about all the people I grew up with, so I wrote this song for them, and this is it's called 50 Years.
All the cool kids are wearing black high tops. I wanted them so bad. Ads on TV after school, driving me mad. Run your fastest, jump your highest, better in every way. If my mama had bought me some PF Flyers, everything might have been okay. Stinky had a Fender bassman, best amplifier in the land. He couldn't play, but it didn't matter. It got him into a band. I was plugging my guitar into my record player, sitting in my room all day. If I'd have had me a Fender amp, I might have gone all the way. I used to love the sound that time made rushing past my ears. Now it's gone by in the blink of an eye. It's been 50 years. Cindy with the scent of danger, Betty with those puffy lips, Barbie reaching through the sand, I touched her fingertips. Jennifer so tall and creamy, Karen with her country ways. I wanted to talk to them, but I couldn't think of nothing to say. Larry was a psycho, Greg he was numb, Peter was his brother's keeper, Paul marched to a different drum. Dirtball, he went AWOL, we ain't seen him since. I wanted to be on that list, to leave no fingerprints. I used to love the sound the time made rushing past my ears. It's gone by in the blink of an eye. It's been 50 years. Topical. I'm wondering what it means. I'm sitting here thinking about a world so long ago. Bunch of kids sharing some air, people I used to know. Some are lost and some are missing. Some have died. There's a few that shoulda, somehow they made it to the other side. Life ain't no mystery, life is a one-act play. And don't wait for nobody, don't let nothing get in its way. I used to love the sound that time made rushing past my ears. Now it's gone by in the blink of an eye. It's been 50 years. I used to love the sound that time made rushing past my ears. Now it's gone by in the blink of an eye. It's been 50 years.
Gerf Morlick's on Studio One. The new album is Eatin' At Me, came out earlier this year. You've pretty consistently released an album, I just noticed, approximately every 2 years.
It's been about that, yeah.
Is that intentional?
You know, I could do it faster, but I don't think that's a good idea. I think I know some people that release an album every year, and it just seems to lose importance somehow. I think a year and a half at least, and it's worked out to be 2 years for me. And that also gives me time to come up with like 30 songs to pick from, which is a luxury. That's really nice.
Yeah, and I know you've said that some of the songs have been gestating for a while. You know, you might have been working on them for 5 years before they found their way to an album.
Yeah, that's something I learned from the great songwriters that I've been able to work with. You know, people like, Lucinda and Ray Wiley Hubbard and Mary Gaucher these people were always telling me that, you know, like the they would say, you know, the problem with most songwriters is they don't know when their song is finished, mm-hmm. and they don't know to keep on working on it. And I used to be that way. I used to get it to the point where it just rhymed and didn't sound stupid, and I'd call it good. And that's not good enough, you know. These days, you want to, you know, there's so many people doing it. You have to have something that's special and something that reaches out and connects to people somehow. And I learned to try to do that by working on it till I think I got every syllable the way I want it to be, you know. I got songs that I've been working on for 5 years that are not done yet. And it might take 10, but if it takes 10 and I get it the way I want it, then it's going to have been worth it.
Yeah, well, I love the details in your songs, you know.
Oh, thanks.
And I think that's part of what makes a great song is that detail. It's something that might be specific only to you. Only you really know what it means, but it doesn't matter. It comes off, it works in the song.
Yeah, well, cool.
Yeah. Gerf Morlick's on Studio One.
Well, let me play you this song here. This is a song that I learned off a record by a band called The Skeletons. I used to see The Skeletons come around a lot. They're not around anymore. They were out of Springfield, Missouri, and they were one of America's great bar bands. And they were led by this guy, Lou Whitney. He was the bass player and lead singer. And he was a force of nature, and Lou died about a year ago. And ever since he's been gone, I started playing this song that I learned from him.
Sitting on the floor, Indian style, I'm waiting for my gin to hit me. Mama saying prayers for her bad child, I'm waiting for my gin to hit me. Now here it comes, just like I knew it would. A warm feeling makes me feel good. Laying on my back, no pillow for my head, I'm waiting for my gin to hit me. I can't sleep till I'm half dead, I'm waiting for my gin to hit me. I can't see till I'm half blind, I'm waiting for my gin to hit me. Living like this is a slow way of dying, waiting for my gin to hit me. I got pain on the run and I'm free again. My world's gone cold, but never my gin. Laying on my back, no pillow for my head, I'm waiting for my gin to hit me. Now don't bury me until I'm dead, I'm waiting for my gin to hit me. Waiting for my gin to hit me. sitting on the floor, Indian style, waiting for my chin to hit me. Mama still praying for her bad child, waiting for my chin to hit me. I got pain on the run, and I'm free again. My world's gone cold, but never mind, chin. Laying on my back, no pillow for my head. I'm waiting for my chin to hit me. Now don't bury me until I'm dead. I'm waiting for my chin to hit me. Waiting for my chin to hit me. I'm waiting for my chin to hit me.
All right, Skeleton Song. Is that, that's got to be called Waiting for My Gin, and then parentheses to hit me in parentheses, right?
Yeah, I would say that's a pretty good guess.
I'm guessing, that's all.
You're very perspicacious.
But so you were playing that, and I was thinking, will rock and roll ever die? You know, I mean, they used to say rock and roll will never die. And now we've gone through synthesizers, now we're into laptops and all kinds of further removed from human hands creation of music.
Rock and roll will never die.
I had a feeling you'd say that.
And the roll is the important part. I don't have so much use for just rock, but rock and roll, man, that's never going to go away. It's too joyous.
Yeah, and you yourself, I believe, have never gone too far from the wood and the string instruments into the, or have you, to electronic sounds.
I love finding unique textures using synthesizers and samplers. I'm into all of that, but I try to make it sound organic somehow, you know. There's stuff like that on all my records, but you probably just don't notice it.
Right, it's not the main thing. It's there to support the rock and roll.
Yeah, it's a palette you're trying to work with, you know. I'll play you this song here. This is from a couple of albums back. It's a song that I wrote for these two friends of mine that I had back in Austin that had what I considered to be the greatest love affair of all time. And this couple was more in love than anyone I've ever known. And they pretty much had a storybook romance, and they were married for 24 years, and they were together a bunch of years longer than that. And then suddenly one day one of them was gone. There was an accident, and so I wrote this for my friend who's still around. It's called Voice of Midnight. I will miss all I have known. No regrets for the seeds I've sown. Life spent trying to find a rhyme, but now I'm falling through the holes of time. Where you've gone, I can't see. Wherever that is, I long to be. Whatever it takes to pull me through, I won't be complete till I'm with you. And when the voice of midnight calls, when the last hour finally falls, well, it won't be no surprise. I'll be searching for your eyes. Things that happen, they just do, without a reason, without a clue. You can wonder till your time is through, but there ain't no good that'll do for you. And when the voice
of midnight calls. When the last hour finally falls, well, it won't be no surprise. I'll be searching for your eyes. Alone, the greatest gift so tenderly was your heart given to me. And when the voice of midnight calls, when the last hour finally falls, well, it won't be no surprise. I'll be searching for your eyes. I'll be searching for your eyes.
Voice of Midnight from Gerf Morlix on Studio One. We're going to hear one more in just a moment. Our thanks to Phil Moss, our technical producer. Also thanks to Al Scherz. I'm Mark Simmet, and you can get the new album, Eatin' at Me, at any place that Gerf Morlix is playing.
Yeah, come
on. You got him with you. Or you can go to gerfmorlix.com and get your copy there. You can even have it signed if you like. And be sure to read the mission statement when you're there. The first thing you said you do at Root Ball Records is you're the chief strategist. I thought that was interesting. It's not like I'm the guy who writes the songs. I'm the, you know, chief strategist.
I'm all I got.
You are a one-man operation, yeah. as you made clear. And I just love the way you approach the whole thing. It's like an art project. You know, you're doing all this, but you're doing it with love, and you're you know, putting that into the music, the songs you write, you perform them, you create the cover to the album, you personally mail it out. I'm sure it's a lot of work, but that's a great thing.
It is a lot of work, and it's a lot of work that I don't really want to be doing, but I find that I'm the only one that's willing to do it, and therefore I'm willing to do it. And if that's what it takes to be able to get out in front of people and play these songs, then that's worth it for me. So That hour and a half or 2 hours on stage every night is what it's all about. That's the good part of the day.
Again, it's Eatin' at Me, and that's at gerfmorlix.com. Thanks very much for being here today in Studio One.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. What a pleasure. I'm really enjoying this. And I want to play one more song here, and I thought I'd play a song by the Blind Boys of Alabama. I think this one kind of sums up what life is all about. This is called The Last Time. Well, this may be the last time. This may be the last time, children. This may be the last time. Maybe the last time. I don't know. Well, this may be the last time. This may be the last time, children. This may be the last time. Maybe the last time. I don't know. It may be the last time we ever get together. Maybe the last time. I don't know. Said it may be the last time we ever get together.
may be the last time, I don't know. Well, this may be the last time. This may be the last time, children. This may be the last time. May be the last time, I don't know. It may be the last time we ever sing together. May be the last time, I don't know. Said it may be the last time we ever sing together. May be the last time, I don't know. Well, this may be the last time. This may be the last time, children. This may be the last time. May be the last time, I don't know. Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. Hey, may be the last time, I don't know. Hey, yeah, hey, 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 may be the last time, I don't know. No, it may be the last time we ever see each other. Maybe the last time, I don't know. Said it may be the last time we ever see each other. Maybe the last time, I don't know. Well, this may be the last time. This may be the last time, children. This may be the last time. Last time, I don't know. Well, this may be the last time. This may be the last time, children. This may be the last time. May be the last time, I don't know. It may be the last time, I don't know. It may be the last time, I don't know. Maybe the last time, I don't know. Yeah, maybe the last time, I don't know.